Good morning, everyone. Thanks for making it out today. That was just good to hear different people share of things that they were touched by or things that they heard that spoke grace into their lives. Today's message actually is was kind of breathed comes from spending some time at the meetings. And it's a little bit of a testimony maybe of my own life and my journey. And I just want to share, kind of look at some scripture, look at different things. And by sharing my life, by sharing my journey, by just talking about some things, I hope that you find grace in your lives, you find hope, you find encouragement for your lives. The title of my message this morning is God's Grace Midst Emotional Challenges. So in our congregation, and it's probably naturally that way, if we ask for prayer, let's say we gather for prayer and we ask for prayer, we will have a lot of prayer requests come in for someone's health, probably for someone's loss or something that is comfortable to talk about. We also will have sometimes a prayer request for someone that is specifically going through a hard time in their spiritual life. And but I find that how many of us, and you don't have to say it, but we find it challenging to say that I'm on an emotional journey. Can you pray for me? And I think part of the reason it is so hard is it's emotional, and that's the very thing that we're talking about. I think there may have also, in our past, in our own journey of life, I think there may have been some stigma associated with mental health and just our emotional journey. I don't know if there has been or if it's just because it's so emotional that it's hard for us as individuals to separate it. But today, as we talk about it, it may be painful for some people, but I just pray that God's grace would be here and that we would feel His presence. And that we would learn how to equip each other better, how to be there for each other better, and how to, on our own journey, find grace. See, God has also made us very differently. Some of us are visionary. Some of us are analytical. Like we have different ways that we process life. And that is also going to affect sometime to some degree of when challenges come our way, when hard things come our way, of how we respond to that. But yet, despite what our personality is, we are all faced with a choice. We're all faced with how do we respond to something that is hard, hard on our mind or hard on our emotions. And today, as we look at different scripture, I want us to think about the tenderness of God. Just simply ask God to show you His tenderness for each person, because every single person in this room, God's heart is actually very tender towards your journey, and He cares deeply about it. So this morning I was just thinking, in regards to trauma, when I would ask you, if you think about trauma or something emotional, what comes to your mind? What are some things that come to your mind? I think you're probably going to think of major losses, and that's a wide span of things, because anything that falls under a loss would come in through that. But I think of rejection, abandonment by one or by a cultural society we are familiar with, wrongs committed against an individual, a violation of a human, or a violation of respect by another human, like physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. But trauma is an incident that leaves an imprint on our emotional being. When we think of trauma, I'd like to have a couple people from the crowd who just simply state, if you think of trauma and you think of a Bible character, who do you think in the Bible maybe was traumatized with life event or circumstances happening to them, or does anybody come in particular to your mind? Ray? Job. And what comes to your mind for that?
Job had an incredible loss, but not only, the loss, he went from a certain way of life to having that completely turned around really, really fast.
Okay, thank you. Ray, I'm just wondering if I could ask you a couple more questions yet before we go on to someone else. When do you think that Job would have recognized the first time that there was loss happening? Or when do you think there was any time that Job would have said, what is going on here?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I mean, yeah. I'm sure that's fine. But I don't know.
But sometimes it is, Job had multiple ones, right? But imagine him having his family, he lost his family, right? Just stuff like that. So it's, Job was a very good example of severe loss. Anyone else? Joseph? So what would come to your mind on that? When his brothers put him in the pit and sold him. Do you think there was any, again, if you look at Joseph's life, there was a lot of stuff leading up to that, right? It didn't just happen that one morning they woke up and this is the first time that they did evil to Joseph, right? But do you think there was anything specific that would have maybe stood out to Joseph in that time?
It was a unique relationship, a family relationship. Yeah. Joseph was a special son to his father. In all honesty, the other brothers also probably felt neglect and abandoned from their dad. And then when they put Joseph in the pit, it was their way of, or when they sold him into Egypt, it was, they thought they got rid of the problem, but as we know, it resurfaced years later. Yeah.
Thank you. I think I saw Abe. Did you have your hand up?
I was actually going to talk about Joseph as well, so that's good. But okay. He went from being favored to being completely rejected and then being accused of a sin he didn't commit. And then being the way of redemption for his brothers, he experienced a lot of what Jesus experienced.
Yeah, very true. Anyone else? Any other character in the Bible that we can reference to? Rose there.
I immediately thought of the adulterous woman that was getting stoned, and Jesus told her, "I condemn you no more."
Publicly ridiculed like that, and then Jesus poured grace into her lives and did not judge her for that.
And just the trauma that she must have faced to even be in that position in her life at that moment.
Of
I'm sure
abuse.
There's a lot more that we don't know.
Jesus.
Very true. That's the first one of the four that I was going to go over after. Jesus, he suffered tremendous trauma for you and me. Anyone else? Ben, up here.
My thought of David, it seemed like most of the first 30 years of his life were like under the continual grindstone of being the least important son and then being hated by the king and getting his wife stolen and then going through the wilderness for like, I don't know, 10 or 15 years trying to survive. I think it must have been pretty tough.
Yeah, David's life was very full of that, yeah. Thank you. Okay, over here. Go ahead.
I thought about Jacob and his encounter with wrestling with the angel and the way he was lame for the rest of his life. It may not be the most traumatic thing anyone has ever went through, but I'm sure there was some mornings where he woke up just wishing he could be normal again.
Thank you. Very true. What I had wanted to kind of lead this into, was there someone else? Yep, there.
I thought of Esther. Her whole life kind of was trauma. I mean, she lost her parents, lived with her uncle, then got selected by the king, and then who wanted to kill her people. And yeah, just kind of one thing led to the next part in her life. Mm-hmm.
Very true, thank you. So, I think we can conclude by that it is kind of normal to humanity to suffer like that and to have a response to that. But what I wanted to now next step in was when we have trauma, If something happens to you very negatively, have you ever heard the word of that maybe in later in life you get triggered? Anybody else triggered? I think that's a very real thing. So this morning I'd like to look at trauma. I'd like to look at just how we... Triggered is maybe not the best word, but how we feel sometimes when we have memories, we can have a very deep response come from us. It can just be like we can be triggered from anything that causes a memory. I just put a couple down here. A thunderstorm could trigger us, right? Or the smell of fish. I think Jonah might have been triggered by that. or the sound of someone rushing, footsteps rushing, just small things. And you know, trigger is really just a memory. But the question is, what do we do with that memory? And then I want to look at healing, embracing God's tenderness. So this morning, my prayer is, I hope if anyone is struggling through anything this morning that they can know that, I want them to know I care deeply for people's struggles. I have struggled through a lot of stuff in my own life. And this is not to personally highlight anybody or anything. It's just, it's a subject I think that we want God's grace over our lives when we discuss it because we are affected by it emotionally. So I just pray that God's grace would be upon us. So we're going to look at a couple different scriptures. We're going to look at an incident. We're going to look at the impact, the individual's response, and then the story was obviously in the Bible, so what can we learn from it? So Elijah's the first guy I want to look at. He had a trauma or he had something imposed to him by others who did not agree with him, who were in conflict to his belief. So 1 Kings 19:9. So Jezebel had not wanted him. She did not agree with his beliefs, and he had killed the prophets, and she ordered him to be killed. It says, so that is what the incident was, the impact was, that fear took over him, and he ran off. So 1 Kings 19:9. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here?" This is when Elijah had taken off. And Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenants with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left now, and they are trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord said to him. And Elijah stood there. The Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. Then you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Amaloth, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him." So what we see happening here was Elijah received a threat, and he was just terrorized by it, and he took off. And then God kind of allowed things to happen and kind of brought sense back to him and just told him the truth, that there's 7,000 people. Like, he thought he was the only one left. And sometimes in our lives, have you felt like you were the only one left for a certain situation? Or that you were alone? And sometimes we just need to hear God. We need to calm our hearts when we are struggling through something emotional and hear God and let him speak peace, let him speak truth into our hearts so that we can be calm and we can understand how things really are, because sometimes we cannot see things properly. And I wanted to throw this out too then, is that we allow God to communicate truth to us through turmoil and fear. And as we go our lives with our own things we face life, as memories come back and we maybe are triggered. See, later in life, Elijah, probably when he heard a thunderstorm come across, like this week we had a couple, when Elijah would have been around, he could either have been fearful again of Jezebel, or he could have remembered the grace of God. We have a choice when those memories come back, if we're going to be fearful or if we're going to recall the grace of God upon our lives. The next story I want to look at is Jonah. Jonah had a calling on it upon his life, but he chose to avoid the call. So God in his tenderness took him on a journey. Somehow he missed the lesson and came to a point where he preferred to die. But Jonah had a personal choice that ended up bringing self-inflicted emotional trauma upon his life. And it's not always outside stuff. Sometimes we make choices personal that bring hard things upon our lives, that we have hard memory flashbacks come because of personal choices that we've made that were wrong. I'm just going to start in Jonah 4 and read a little portion here. So Jonah had run away. He was supposed to go preach. He had run away from God. He was on the boat, thrown off. A fish swallowed him for 3 days, threw him out, came back. He went and preached to the city, and the people repented. So he sat down beside the city to see what would happen now, see what God would do. The change of plans, and then God had mercy on them, right? That's who our God is. The change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You're eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." The Lord replied, "It is not right for you to be angry. Is it right for you to be angry about this?" Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter and sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry because of the plant, because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Should I not feel sorry for such a city? And here we can see that Jonah had run away from God. He had missed the lesson of being in the fish belly for 3 days. He went and preached a message of grace, but was not graceful. And then when God allowed this plant to grow up over him and it died, he was so discouraged that he wanted to die. And again, just thinking about that, I don't know what Jonah did after that, but in our lives, when we do things that are wrong and God draws us back, if memories come back to us, what do we do with those memories? What do we, if we have flashbacks, do we go into condemnation or do we bring glory to God? Another one that I wanted to mention was Mephibosheth. He was a cripple. And this was something that someone else did. He was a little baby, and then the people came to kill his family because he was in the king's family, and a maid took him, ran across the room, and dropped him, and he was crippled for life. In 2 Samuel 9, so that was a happening that happened to him that was caused by something that was out of his control. It was caused by others that had a consequence that went with him his entire life. 2 Samuel 9, it says, one day David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. The king then asked him, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show kindness to them. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. So David sent for him and brought him from Michal's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground. In deep respect, David said, greetings, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth replied, I am your servant. Don't be afraid, David said. I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, "Who is your servant that you should show kindness to a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for the master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table." Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba replied, "Yes, my lord, the king, I am your servant, and I will do all that you have commanded." And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. From then on, all the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants, and Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. So here was an individual that when he was a little kid, someone dropped him and he was crippled for life. He could not walk as others could. Do you think if he heard someone running real fast or something like that, that the flashback would have come as something going to happen? Is something going to happen? Is someone going to be hurt? And then when he had the invitation to come and sit at the king's table, he thought he was not worthy. He considered himself a dead dog. But see, sometimes when things happen to us, we believe that we are not worthy, but God is calling us. God is a very tender God, and God is calling us to come and be with him, to relate with him, to communicate with him, no matter what the flashbacks may be that we face in life. Another story I wanted to highlight here was Jesus facing trauma, the trauma of carrying the payment of our sins. In Luke 22, it says, he was just ready to be crucified there or be captured. He walked away about his stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell on ground like great drops of blood. By this time it was about noon, and the darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And those words he breathed his last. So what we see there is Jesus was suffering to the point where he was, his sweat was like blood drops. And he did that for us. And the story was recorded so that we can see that he was willing to do that for us. And when he was in his very worst moment, his darkest, hardest moment, he still reached out to the Father. He reached out to the Father for hope, for a place of refuge. And those are things we can do when we are, when we have memories flood our when we have memories come over us, or when an incident happened that reminds us of a situation, that we can turn to the Father and reach out. I have still two portions of Psalms I wanted to read here in reference to the heart, to the tenderness of God's heart to his people. And I know sometimes when we read Psalms, we can almost disengage. We think it's just a psalm, but I really want you to hear the word here and take it, that you can take it personally to your own heart and your own life and apply it when you face those challenges. Psalms 107, it says, "He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has moved our sins as far as from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant and to those who obey his commandments. And what I want us just to think about those scriptures is, do we see the tenderness? See, no matter what we face, no matter how difficult life is, God's thoughts toward us are very tender. His thoughts are redemptive towards us. Psalms 23, I want to read here too. The Lord is my shepherd, and I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside a peaceful stream. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So just coming back again, a little, just sharing a little bit more about my own journey and then going to something that I realized at the tent meetings that just moved me very deeply. Recently, one of my daughters was telling me that, okay, so I guess we just simply say this way, it's when we have memories come to us, how do we respond? How do you respond? Recently, one of my daughters told me that she was at a place, and I guess they know me, and she said that somebody was saying something, and she just looked over at me, and I went and put my head down because I was ashamed. And it's maybe funny, but someone that has carried or has, if you've had a lot of shame put on your life and something comes along, people just see it happen, right? And so in these tent meetings here, often when I've been under a lot of preaching, I would see my need for change. And I would often feel a lot of shame come upon my life. I would have a lot of memories come. But in these past 2 weeks, something happened that I've never experienced quite like that before, and I just wanted to share it with you because I've often wondered, if I have memories coming back, does that mean I've not forgiven? Like, I've struggled with that. If you have memories coming back, does that mean you haven't forgiven? But as the memories were coming to me, sitting under the preaching night after night, what was happening within my own heart was, instead of feeling that shame, I just looked up to God and I thought of his goodness. I was drawn to rejoice in him because as I looked at my life, I looked at my family's life, I just looked at our community and everything, I was just drawn to worship him for his goodness. Different than shame. And it was a new experience for me. And I just, one night while I was going through that, I just felt like God wanted me to share it this Sunday. So that's why I shared what I did today, is because when we really hit something that we're triggered, can we be triggered that we could glorify God? See, we have a choice when those memories come. Are we going to glorify God or are we going to go in self-condemnation, in fear, in regret? We have a choice to make. One will glorify him, and the other will bring us down and will cause us emotional trauma. Will you might ask me now, have I completely overcome that? I don't know, and I'm okay with that, because a verse came to me, and it said that where David said, I'm going to just read Psalms 27 here in the end, where he said, yet I am confident that I will see God's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. And I saw that. I saw that. And that was such a blessing for me personally that I think moving forward on a lot of things, when I am triggered, I can respond differently. And it was just a new revelation to me that I don't have to maybe process so deeply or grieve or whatever, but that I can rejoice in the goodness that God has given to me personally. Psalms 27, I'll just read that yet. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. O God of my salvation, even if my father and my mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I have never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. And then he says, yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And my encouragement to us this week, coming week, is let's walk into the week embracing the tenderness of God upon our lives. He cares deeply for us. And if we have memories that come back to us that are almost overwhelming, let's bring glory to him. Let's allow a work to be done in our lives that we can recognize the glory of God even in the midst of that. And I encourage us to do that. Not that it was just a different experience for myself, and it was beautiful. And because of that, I just wanted to share it. And you might think, like, where have you been all these years? I don't know, but it was just so beautiful for me to be triggered for the glory of God. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. I guess with that, I don't know if I had sent David a message wondering if he could do a song right after this or on the screen, which Dean might. And I just want to take a couple minutes here. We're going to play this song, but just think about those painful areas in your life. Think about those flashbacks you have sometime of memories, and allow God, allow Jesus to speak peace into your life. And I just want to say I love you guys. I really want to see every one of you prosper on your journey. I don't want to speak death to anyone. Life is sometimes hard, and I want you to know that I really truly care for those that are on a journey that is difficult. And I want you to experience the same grace that I have been able to. So God bless you.